Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota.
Pardon the Interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre, and it is such an honor, a true honor, to host this show with a television legend.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Ugh. Wovan has a day off. Is that what happened here? We got this kid. We just picked him up off the streets. We have to introduce ourselves to him.
Titan,
oh boy.
Magnate. What does Wilbon call you? I call you a legend. That's what you give me back.
He calls me Mr. Tubbs. It's an old movie reference a long time ago. It could be Mr. Tibbs for all I know. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon couldn't be bothered to work today, so I'm pleased to welcome in our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily podcast, my grandson, Mr. Pablo Torre. That's nice. That's sweet. And we begin today with James Harden on his way to Brooklyn after the Rockets shipped him to the Nets for a package of players and draft picks. One of those players is Caris LeVert, who the Rockets then moved to Indiana in a swap for Victor Oladipo. But the Nets are the story, Pablo. They will now feature James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving if and when he returns. Do you see this working?
I see this being, first of all, insanely volatile, Tony. It's worth noting that the pretext for this is that Kyrie Irving has been missing from work. We don't really know why. There are currently many questions speculating around the league. How are he and Kevin Durant getting along? All of which is to say that to throw James Harden in there is an explosive thing to do. But I do think that they had to do it. If you can get James Harden, Tony, one of the few things I am sure of in the NBA and sports in general, really, is that if you can get an NBA MVP candidate, a perennial one, you have to do it. I don't care about the chemistry. If he is on the table, you try and get him, and then you figure it out, because maybe that helps address the fact that this Kyrie thing, we don't know what's going to happen there. Let's just follow the talent. Keep doing that.
I love the trade because it makes it easier for me to hate the Nets even more now as they load up in this way. I look at James Harden and what he has done this year in Houston. When he stopped playing, he stopped. He stopped running. He stopped working. He even stopped shooting, which is amazing. And he just poisoned the well there so that they had to get him out. You know, when he said, was it last night? He said, this just isn't working. And then they kept him away from practice today. So you knew that they were going to make a move. I wonder if he can play with Kyrie Irving, because I wonder if anybody can play with Kyrie Irving. And I wonder when Kyrie Irving will play again. I will say this about Harden. He's a great, great, great talent. He sabotaged the team he was just on. You don't know if that can happen again. The volatility reference is absolutely correct. He has played with Russell Westbrook. He has played with Chris Paul. He has played with Kevin Durant. These are great talents as well. And to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, he's never won a ring. So I don't know what you can bank on. But they have made this trade makes the Nets the most must-see team in the NBA, but by a long distance.
And there's another name, Tony, that I think of when I was watching this deal unfold today amid the slow-motion divorce that you described with James Harden in Houston. And that's Anthony Davis. Because there were many critiques, right? Anthony Davis, terrible teammate, betraying his team, making it so hard for everybody there, Alvin Gentry in New Orleans, all of which was 1,000,000% true. It was such a mess that made a lot of people think less of him. But the thing with talent at this level in the NBA, you still have to go and get that guy. Because what happens? You get Anthony Davis, the Lakers win a title. That is number one most direct line between 2 points in the league. If you want to get to the title, you go get more superstars.
Oh, no, I'm going to give you that. That's the perfect analogy. If I were Houston, and I thought about this morning before this trade was made, if I was Houston and I wasn't letting a lot of fans in and it didn't really matter to me, I would have told James Harden, just sit over in a corner somewhere. Just leave me alone because I'm getting my TV money and I don't need you. But if you're asking me, do the Nets have to make this trade 100% and does it carry with it risk 100%?
Elsewhere in the NBA, Tony, it's worth noting, the Hawks and the Suns are not going to even be playing tonight. That's the seventh NBA game postponed by COVID now. The league is putting all these stricter protocols in place that limit players' interactions with outsiders. And George Hill of the Thunder, the guard, said this, quote, I'm a grown man, so I'm going to do what I want to do. They can't tell me I have to stay in the room 24/7. If it's that serious, maybe we shouldn't be playing. End quote. So, Tony, do you think the NBA's new restrictive rules are going too far?
Well, the NBA Players Association, to my knowledge, agreed to all of these things. They agreed to quarantine. They agreed to masks. They agreed to sort of isolation, you know, because you have to make sacrifices in team sports. They're not in a bubble. And you're losing games left and right here. So everybody has to step up and follow a certain harsher set of rules for a minimum of 2 weeks. I don't know what the max is, but maybe it's only 2 weeks or maybe it's 3 weeks. My comment on Mr. Hill is quite simply opt out. You have the right to opt out. If you don't like it, opt out. Ryan Zimmerman opted out. David Price opted out. A bunch of New England Patriots opted out. You're a grown man. Do what you want. If it's not for you, opt out. You're going to give up some money, I assume, because I don't know that they're going to pay you if you decide not to play. But if you say this is too much for me, you want to say there's the door. There's the door, right?
Yeah, there's that great quote from Don Draper in Mad Men, Tony. That is what the money is for. I understand. I completely agree with you, right? Like, if you fear the virus too much, opt out. I totally empathize with that. And by the way, the reason the NBA didn't go to a bubble is because the players didn't want to be in a bubble, and I understand that too. But the trade-off here is very clear. If you want to collect the money, you have to abide by these restrictions, because the one thing I cannot empathize with at all in this is not wanting to do this because you don't fear the virus enough. If you're a grown man, you want to do grown man things, guess what? That's why we're at a place where nearly 400,000 people have died due to this virus, because people just want to be grown men and do what they want to do. That's the part I cannot abide by.
These are the work rules now. If you don't want to work to those rules, leave. I don't really know that there's an alternative here. Deshaun Watson has been making noise about wanting to leave Houston. Houston, it's troublesome in that city now. He's upset. He didn't have any influence in the Texans hiring Nick Caserio as GM. But the NFL Network reports the Texans have requested an interview with Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy to be head coach. And he is someone that Watson has endorsed. Pablo, do you see this repairing the Texans' relationship with Deshaun Watson?
If it does, Tony, it's because Deshaun Watson is one of the most compliant stars I've ever seen in the NFL. Keep in mind, this is the guy who, when DeAndre Hopkins was traded, didn't really raise a fuss. This is the guy when he had a broken rib and a punctured lung or a bruised lung or whatever it was, you know, taking the bus to play the Jaguars because the air pressure of a plane was too much. He was doing whatever this team wanted, to the point where J.J. Watt apologized to him after the last game walking off the field because he said, "We wasted another year of your life." To me, this is about ownership. This is about Cal McNair. This is about whether Deshaun Watson can trust a guy who said, "I want your input, but also you're going to find out who your new boss is over social media." And by the way, that boss is kind of maybe going to resemble a bootleg Bill O'Brien, the guy that obviously helped waste that year of your life.
Well, I mean, I look at it a little bit differently. I don't know the intricacies of his upset with Houston. I know that the team has deteriorated, and I can understand why he would want to leave. Interviewing is not hiring. Hiring is official. I don't know that they have to hire Eric Bieniemy, but I think they have to hire somebody that Deshaun Watson wants. All right? I look at this as a great opportunity for the new GM. Now, it seems that Watson didn't want the new GM. It's possible he doesn't even know the new GM. But if the new GM says, "Who do you want? I can live with this," then as the kids say, it's all good, right? You're a kid, it's all good.
But Tony, there is an out here that makes this less than all good, because Bieniemy is coaching with the Chiefs. He's gonna not be able to actually have this interview for as long as they're in the postseason. So this all smells to me like trying to satiate Deshaun Watson without even coming close to delivering maybe even that interview within a time frame that makes him reconsider. Maybe I can trust the people who are employing me, because I personally would not if I was him.
Okay, so Eric Bieniemy is not just getting this interview. 4, 5, 6, 8 teams, for all I know, are interviewing Eric Bieniemy for head coaching job. And he may want to go someplace else. He may not want to wait on this one. But if he waits on this one, that to me would be a hopeful sign. And it would give Caserio a little bit more time to work directly with Deshaun Watson. Because let's be clear about something. You cannot get rid of Deshaun Watson if you are Houston. Who are you going to trade him for? You're going to trade him for Josh Allen or Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson? But they're not making those trades. No. You know, you've got a wonderful young quarterback. Make him happy. Let's take a break. Coming up, is it possible that Ben Roethlisberger could actually retire this time?
And what is the word for LeBron's look-away three last night?
Maybe Houston could get Caris LeVert, and he would be the coach. Do you think Deshaun Watson would want that? I don't know.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Toyota.
I'm not sure I've mentioned this before, but I was an English major. Pablo, on the other hand, Pablo, you played it safe with sociology, although granted, it was Harvard. So whose vocabulary would you rather bet on? Mine. What's first?
Ben Roethlisberger would be blank to return for another season.
I'm going to say inclined. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger wants to leave on the sour note of this season. When you start out 11-0 and then you lose 5 out of 6 games and you look irretrievably old, I don't think that's the way he is going to want to go out. You know, year after year after year, Ben Roethlisberger floats these rumors that he's going to retire and nobody pays any attention to them. I don't think he'll float it this year because people would put their hands up and say, go, can I help you out? Where is the door? Please find it. So I don't think he's going to do that. He's a very large man. He's got a very large presence. He's got a very large ego. It just strikes me, Pablo, that this is not the song that you want to go out on, though if, you know, I think he might get to training camp and make a decision. If I'm the Steelers, I've got to have a backup in place. I've got to be thinking about who my next quarterback is.
But that's the issue, Tony, which is why my word is messianic. It would be messianic of Roethlisberger to return because, number one, as you alluded to, it kind of would be him rising from the dead. He looked awful in that game. He looked older than he ever has. I mean, it was just bad on every level. However, what the Steelers have right now in terms of their salary cap situation is a massive problem because they're $22 million over the cap. If Roethlisberger would just be cut, he would still cost $22 million in dead cap money. And that means the backup they have is Mason Rudolph. And that also means that they can't really go spend money on anyone else. So if you're Ben Roethlisberger, your return is actually that much better, that much more valuable, that much more messianic because your backup is just Mason Rudolph.
Messianic, that's such an Ivy League word. I should have come up with that. State school, I didn't. What's next?
LeBron's turnaway three-pointer last night was blank.
It was straight cash, homie. Okay, he's over in the left-hand corner, and Dennis Schroers, I think, says something like, I'll bet you can't make that shot. And LeBron goes up for the shot, lets it go, and then turns around and says, you're on, I'll take that bet. And of course it drops in swish, and of course it's $100 that he's got to pay off to LeBron. It was also unbelievably disparaging to Houston, again, the mess of Houston, that you're making bets in the middle of a game against Houston. Quite like that. I want to point one thing out about LeBron. those of us who sat in these chairs for a long period of time said at one point, oh, he's not going to come back at the beginning of the season. Oh, he may not even play until March. The Lakers have played 12 games. He's played all 12. They're 9-3, the best record in the league, and I think he's 24-8-8. So.
My word, Tony, is Jungian, and that's not Carl Jung. That is Nick Jung. This reminded me of Nick Jung. You remember that? Nick Jung does this. He turns around. It's a wonderful meme, a gif for all eternity.
But he missed it.
And it spins out, which is absolutely not what LeBron James did. So LeBron James, just keep in mind, the Houston Rockets played in this game. They were down 20 at this point. How bad does it have to be for this particular moment to not even make the medal stand of things you have grievances about after the game? Like, this didn't even register because of everything else that was happening. Meanwhile, LeBron James is doing literally whatever he wants in this league.
Jungian, and you put the distinction between Nick Jung and the philosophical Jung. That was so good. I would tell you to eat your words, but that was good. Let's take one last break, still to come. Were the Seahawks right to dump their offensive coordinator?
And will Aaron Rodgers make a good host of Jeopardy?
Yes. Yes, Aaron Rodgers will. Sure.
I mean, does he know Jung, though? Can he pontificate?
He knows Messianic. He knows that. I think he knows straight cash, homie. I think. Not sure.
Absolutely that part.
I think so.
Absolutely that part.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Connor McDavid. The first overall pick in the NHL draft in 2015, and now the captain of the Edmonton Oilers, and already a four-time All-Star. We celebrate his birthday as we celebrate the return of hockey tonight. Defending champion Tampa Bay plays the Blackhawks, and Vancouver visits McDavid and the Oilers, among other games. There are four divisions this year instead of two conferences, and 56 games instead of 82. All seven Canadian teams are lumped in the same division and will play exclusively in Canada because of coronavirus protocols keeping U.S. teams out of Canada. Getting back to McDavid, he had 97 points last year, second in the NHL to his Edmonton teammate Leon Draisaitl's 110 points. McDavid has already won the Art Ross Trophy and the Hart Trophy, but he has not been to the conference finals yet. Pablo, how do you feel about the Canadian-only division? Appropriately, it is the North Division.
It's not just the North Division, Tony. It's the Scotia North Division, because all these divisions are sponsored now, and I would name the other divisions and their sponsors, except they're not paying me, so I will simply say, Austin Matthews with the Maple Leafs, like, that guy had 47 goals. He's the friend of McDavid, famously, of course, his sort of, like, contemporary, his rival in some ways. I also just like his mustache because it reminds me of my mustache, so keep your eye on that guy.
You have a mustache? It's hard to see in the camera. Happy anniversary, Terrell Owens, or Terrell Owens, however you want to pronounce it, on this day 13 years ago, after quarterback Tony Romo took immense heat following the Cowboys' home playoff loss to the Giants, Owens tearfully declared, "That's my teammate. That's my quarterback." I would add parenthetically that you never heard T.O. say anything nearly as nice about Donovan McNabb when both were on the Eagles, but I digress. T.O. was trying to defend Romo from being singled out for the loss. quote, we lost as a team, T.O. said. And I would just add parenthetically that T.O. never struck me or anyone else as a team guy, like when he was doing sit-ups in the driveway. But again, I digress. The criticism after that loss was rooted in a trip to Cabo that Romo, Jason Witten, and Bobby Carpenter took during their bye week. Romo was famously holding Jessica Simpson more than his playbook. But with his CBS TV deal, who is having the last laugh now, huh?
I just want to point out, Tony Romo, Jason Witten, Bobby Carpenter, obviously savaged by broadcasters at the time, all went on to become broadcasters themselves, so I think all three of them are laughing in some regard. Also, just remembering Jessica Simpson, what a more innocent time in America. I kind of want to return to that place in my mind, just because it makes me feel warm and fuzzy in a way that I do not feel very much lately.
Happy trails, Brian Schottenheimer. The Seattle Seahawks fired their offensive coordinator, obviously blaming Schottenheimer for the sharp decline in production of Seattle's offense and quarterback Russell Wilson over the second half of the season. For the first 9 weeks, the Seahawks offense was number one in the NFL, scoring 34 points a game, and Wilson led the league with 28 touchdown passes. But over the last 8 weeks, the Seahawks dropped to 22.6 points per game, 16th in the league. And Wilson threw just 12 more touchdown passes, 13th among quarterbacks. Seattle cited, quote, philosophical differences, unquote, to explain firing Schottenheimer, who was there 3 years. This can be translated to, we can't fire Russell Wilson, so we're firing you. Seattle's offense was particularly bad in last week's playoff loss to the division rival Rams. Wilson was just 11 for 27 passing. His 17.6 total QBR was his worst in 16 playoff games, and he was sacked 5 times. Everyone knows Wilson is better than that.
Tony, people were begging for the Seahawks to pass the ball, to let Russ cook. It was a whole movement. Pete Carroll finally gave in. And guess what? He is never letting Russell Wilson back in that kitchen ever again. They're going to be running the ball more than any team has ever run it next year.
It's interesting to watch the ebb and flow of a season and see who is nominated to be the MVP early in the season because they're doing well, who gets it late, and who gets it consistently throughout. And the consistently throughout, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Two errors. Carl Jung was a psychiatrist, not a philosopher. I got that wrong. And I quoted the line from In the Heat of the Night, as they call me Mr. Tubbs. It's Tibbs, not Tubbs. I tried to correct myself. I was thinking, I guess, of Jerry Tubbs, but that is a great movie with Sidney Poitier and Rod Steiger. That is a great movie. Let us go to the big finish. Bears head coach Matt Nagy and GM Ryan Pace will both return, making Wilbon insane. Pablo, is that the right call?
In honor of Wilbon's trajectory of opinion on this story, I will begin by saying that is a terrible call and then finally settle into saying, yeah, I guess that's right. The Browns defensive backs, Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson, are off the team's COVID list. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, they're starters. You know, they beat the Steelers without starters, and their head coach is on track to return. The bad news is they're playing Kansas City. That's hard. Aaron Rodgers, aforementioned on this show, says he will host an upcoming episode of Jeopardy. Does that make sense?
On the one hand, he won his episode of Celebrity Jeopardy. On the other hand, I think he also believes in chemtrails, so not quite. College hoops last night, Tony. Michigan crushed Wisconsin. Is that significant?
So Wilbon says, he always says the Big Ten is great. He says the Big Ten is particularly great this year. But he also said that he thought Michigan was the best team in the Big Ten. So maybe they are. Maybe they are really good. Last one, Nets at Knicks tonight. Is everybody going to play? Who you got?
Give me the Nets anyway. I also want to raise a banner, Tony, for the 4 days that the Knicks were above 500 in the month of January. What a time to be alive that was.
Good for them. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you so much for watching. And please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.